You're listening to Men's Total Health. Call in now to ask about men's health with Dr. McGuire from the Walter Center of the North Shore University Health Center.
Welcome to the Men's Total Health Show. My name is David Hochberg. On the phone with us is Dr. Michael McGuire, head urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. Doctor, do you like to go by head urologist or chief urologist? No pun intended.
Well, usually chief of urology, but you know, I'll take care of whatever ails you.
Chief of, okay, because I said that, you know, for about 8 weeks now. I'm like, that sounds a little weird, so.
You know, you do what you do.
I do what I do, and what I do is host this show. We're going to be talking about kidney stones and vasectomies today. On the phone with us, like I already mentioned, is Dr. McGuire, the chief of urology or chief urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. And he is broadcasting today from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital.
What is the phone? As
always. Yeah, as always, because why would you want to leave the comforts of that state-of-the-art facility and schlep downtown? If people want to reach you at the office, doctor, what's the best number to reach you?
847-503-3000.
3,000. Okay, so I was listening. You know, of course, you know, I have to start the show off on something completely off-topic here, but we're going to be covering kidney stones and vasectomies. So if you've got any questions about kidney stones, you have any questions about vasectomies, do tune in and stay tuned in, I should say, and do join us at 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. 312-521-8600, phone and text line. I had a vasectomy. It's been well noted on the show and other shows. And I was driving home yesterday and heard, and what's the vein that carries the semen to the urinary tract there to have the old shoot the load, for lack of a better term?
All right, so let's talk anatomy here.
Yeah,
so
talk anatomy.
This, I think this is probably well worth your discussion. So let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
So down in your scrotum, that is the sac, for one thing, you've got two testicles. Your testicles have two functions. They make testosterone, the male hormone, mm-hmm. all right? And that is made by the cells, and that goes through the blood vessels. So that is excreted, and it goes in the blood vessels, and then that gets spread throughout your body. Then you have the vas deferens, and that's why it's called a vasectomy. We're cutting the vas deferens. And the and all that carry are sperm, and that's the other thing the testicles make are sperm. Sperm come up from the testicles, goes up through this, essentially it's just a little tube that comes up there. There's one from each testicle. They join at your prostate. And then when you have an orgasm, 97% of what comes out is not sperm. It's semen, and it's made by the prostate and seminal vesicles. So in reality, sperm is a very small component of the ejaculate of what comes out when you have an orgasm.
So the vas deferens is the artery, right? Is that the right?
It's not an artery. Artery is carries blood. This is the vas deferens is just a tube.
Okay.
So it's a tube.
So it's a tube down on your scrotum by your testicles that are
between the scrotum, between the testicle and your penis.
Okay. So between your testicle and the penis that delivers the semen or the sperm to the semen to have happy time. Okay, so
there you go.
So when I had my vasectomy, and other men have had their vasectomies, or men that are thinking about having vasectomies, or women that are thinking about cutting their boyfriends or men's testicles off. And if you want to stop pregnancy from happening, you're targeting the vas deferens. Okay,
correct.
Or the vas deferens. So my question to you is this: I'm driving home. I know what I went through. Okay, I ball wash, which was great. I had the soldering. I saw smoke and smelled smoke coming and smelled burning coming between my legs, which wasn't so pleasant. And lo and behold, sewn up, have a nice day, go home, ice packs, you know, frozen peas, the whole nine yards. So I'm driving home and I heard no scalpel vasectomy. And I'm thinking, how do they do that? And I'm thinking, do you run yourself into the end of a table or something? Or what do you do?
There's a hammer. It's a very large hammer. No. So the reality is so that you've got to make a hole. And what some enterprising young urologist did, went to the sterilization clinics in China. Sorry, you'd think I'd been on the radio before I would learn that.
Turn down your cell phones and all that other stuff.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's no problem.
So what we found is that men who said they went to China, And China had the one-child verdict for years, sure, where they said this. And they had forced sterility clinics. And men who had had one child had to go to the vasectomy clinic over there,
wow,
where they would have a 5-minute period with no anesthesia and get their vasectomy.
Come on.
Yeah. And so a bunch of urologists went over to watch them, because we wouldn't do a vasectomy in 5 minutes, and we wouldn't do it without anesthesia. So the Americans, being good enterprising Americans, went over and stole their technology for a change of complete change of pace.
Absolutely. There's no problem with that.
In that they had used some special equipment. So you still make a hole. You still make a little cut in the scrotum, but it's usually, you know, quarter inch in size or things like that, and you're able to reach in, and they have these special graspers where you grasp the vas deferens, pull it up, and work it through that little hole. And it's still a hole. We just don't use the scalpel to make the hole.
Oh, so it made it. I'm like, how that? So it makes it like, oh, there's nothing, you know, just swing a wand over it, and everything is dead in there. So. Okay, so
you can just stand in front of the microwave with the door open for a long time.
You know, listen, these ads are confusing on the radio, yeah, unless it's exactly for a mortgage company unless you hear, yeah, my voice. But I don't understand. So that makes sense. So there is an incision. So you're just doing it on the outside instead of the inside. Is the recovery faster?
The hole is smaller. Because the hole is smaller, the whole thing, you recover better.
But it's not like you're going around doing calisthenics the next day and doing jumping jacks.
Well, all I can say is I had mine done by one of my partners here at the John and Carol Walter Center, and I felt great the next day. Your experience is very different than mine, so you know. So that's all I can say.
All right, so we're going to be talking more about vasectomies and kidney stones. I've never had a kidney stone, thank God, but I did have a vasectomy, and you know, we're going to get into that. 312-521-8600 if you have any questions about kidney stones or vasectomies or any other health questions from the top of your head to the toes and all points in between. We were talking about that fat burning a couple of shows ago, and I know you brought another doctor on to talk about the breakthrough in gene technology, and we really didn't get to it last show, but you basically told me that those pills are nothing more than caffeine, and it's kind of like a no-dose, and why don't you take it from there?
So basically, you know, as we've talked about before, weight loss, weight gain is all energy balance. If you take in more energy than you use, your body stores it as fat. If you use more than you take in, your body uses up the fat and gets rid of it. So looking at that, there are several known stimulants in there, things that increase your likelihood that you're going to move around, and that's how it's going to increase the fat. It's nothing magic about using the fat. It's nothing from there. And if there were something that made you burn fat faster, I guarantee you it would be the number one selling drug in the history of mankind, certainly in our country and others where obesity is such a factor. All these things, if they promote you and get you to move and do stuff, then you're going to burn fat. That's a good thing. But is it something magical about just burning fat? No, it's not.
So just giving you a little energy boost to get off your fat rear end to start moving around. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I just, you know, you start seeing fat burner this and fat burner that, and I'm taking this thing and I'm taking that thing. And then when you look at the ingredients, the number 1 through 15 ingredient is caffeine.
Yep.
And what does caffeine do? It makes you jitter and gets up and running and it wakes you up. Okay, kidney stones. Let's get to that. You are listening to the Men's Total Health Show. I am your host, David Hochberg. I am talking with the chief of urology, at North Shore University Health Systems, Dr. Michael McGuire, broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center in Glenbrook Hospital, which is in Glenview, Illinois. Phone number to reach Dr. McGuire is 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. You want to talk about kidney stones first or vasectomies first, Doc?
You know, whichever rocks your boat.
Let's just continue on the vasectomy talk here. So some myths, right?
Right.
When I got done with my vasectomies, like, you're never going to be able to get an erection again. I can tell you firsthand that's false with me. Is that a myth that you hear a lot of when people come for consultations?
So that goes back to where we discussed at the beginning. So many people think this is going to affect their testosterone because we're stopping this. This does nothing to testosterone. It actually does nothing to the testicles themselves. The testicles that we don't affect the blood vessels carry the testosterone. All this does is block off the channel where the sperm go.
Are they still using with this no scalpel procedure, are you performing those type of procedures at your facility up there at Walter Urological Center?
Yeah, it takes about 10 minutes just in the office. We put in a little numbing medication and, you know, that you just get her done and go home and, you know, usually put one stitch in the skin at the end just to close that up to decrease the likelihood of any bleeding or anything like that. And, you know, most people go to work the next day.
Is that a dissolvable stitch or they have to come in and get the stitch out?
No, that falls out on their own.
And if people are like sadists and want to get their testicles stapled, would you be up for that? Or is that
I would not do that, but, you know, I'm sure that there's many places you can get that done down on a back street corner.
Right, without even having a vasectomy. It's just...
Exactly. Just go in for that.
It's foreplay. Yeah, so whatever. Okay, so we covered what a vas deferens is. We covered what the goal of the procedure is. What are the other main questions that men have when they come in, or maybe women, because is it safe to assume that when men come in to ask these questions that they bring their wives or their partner in with them to ask these questions?
Sure. Many spouses come with, and that's a very common situation, and they're always welcome to come in. They're not able to sit in during the actual procedure. Some women wish to, you know, watch their husband have severe pain after they've had kids, but they're not allowed to watch that. And bottom line is they come in and discuss it. It should have absolutely no impact on getting erections, having sex, enjoying sex in any way. If you have guilt, doubt, depression, certainly can affect you psychologically, but physiologically, there's no way it should impact it. There is a lot of misinformation on the internet about, well, this causes cancer, and specifically prostate cancer. And the best thing I can tell you about that is I'm a guy who takes care of a lot of prostate cancer, and I couldn't wait to get my vasectomy. So the reality is there's no causative way that having a vasectomy should affect you having cancer. There's also been one weird study which showed a very unusual kind of dementia, where they said that there was an increased risk of this if you had a vasectomy. Well, the likelihood of getting that kind of dementia, first of all, is probably less than winning the lotto. So it's a very unusual type, and it's never been proven that there's any correlation. This just could have very easily happened by chance. So the reality is there's no proof that having this small tube tied, which only prevents the sperm from leaving the testicle, has any impact on your life other than just makes it so you don't have babies.
So are you, because I know they soldered something in between. I saw smoke and I smelled burning tubes, for lack of a better term, burning vas deferenses. So, burning flesh. So are you using some type of soldering iron on somebody's vas deferens, or are you tying them off? What are you doing?
So the problem with tying them off is there is a failure rate. It's approximately 1 in 10,000 or higher where they grow back together. And it can occur at any times, days, weeks, months, or years, and you may not notice any difference. And there is some suggestion in literature that it's less likely to occur if you seal it with an electrocautery device as opposed to just tying them off. So I do seal them with cautery because if you tell me you want to no longer have kids, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that happens.
And I know one of the 1 in 10,000 because a friend of my wife, had a vasectomy, and guess what? He put a couple of shots on net and scored.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, happy fourth kid that you had this procedure, had your vas deferens partially eliminated to protect you from not having that fourth kid. Guess what? Kid number four is there, and game on. I mean, so
and I bet you're really hoping that kid looks like dad.
Yeah. Or,
I'm sure that's some unhappy times in the household. So
yeah, it was a Anglo man with a Anglo woman, and kid came out looking like he was from South Korea. We got problems. Okay,
exactly. So. But there are failure rates with it, and that's the other thing that you need to know is that most guys have one vas deferens to each testicle. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, a guy will have two vas deferens to a testicle that you can't see or feel. So you do the procedure, everything goes smoothly, but you got to follow up. And the way you follow up is you bring a semen sample in, and I look at it under the microscope to see if there's any swimmers in there, any sperm. If there are no sperm, then we say, okay, you can stop using contraception. But there are some guys that even though you do everything right, they still maintain sperm in their sample. And so that they may have a third vas, and then they may require more advanced exploration or surgery to take a look at this. But it's not something you can just do and say, okay, it's done, you're fine, go home. And the other thing is, it takes about 2 months to clear out the system. So if you think about the channel between the testicles and the prostate, well, it takes about 2 months to clear out that whole system. And there have been lots of guys that had a vasectomy, went home that day, and got pregnant. So you want to make sure that you keep using contraception until you prove you accomplished the goal of making so no sperm in the semen.
Wow. I wouldn't know what to do. So how can you tell how many vas deferens people have, a man has, without taking like an x-ray of their testicles or something?
There is no test which will show it, and it's so minuscule. And it's very, very rare. So the reality is you do it, you find two, you take care of it. That takes care of it 99.99% of the time. But we still say, come on in, make sure that you get tested, because we don't want to do this and then find out you're still at risk for getting somebody pregnant.
But can you do that and determine that through a little incision that you do, or do you have to splice you open? I mean, how can you, you know...
The reality is what you do is you take the two. It is so much more common that you do the simple operation on everybody. You just make sure that 9,999 guys do fine, mm-hmm. but that last guy, he keeps having sperm in his sample. So that guy you take and you do a bigger incision.
Wow. I thank God I'm not, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. So so is this covered in insurance? Is this an elective procedure?
For insurance companies, this is a lot cheaper than having more babies. So they're usually very well informed about this and want you to have it. Now, you got to meet your deductible, and so it tends to be about this time at the end of the year. All of a sudden, I see all these men who've been thinking about getting a vasectomy, and they come in. There's also a lot of men who get it around Final Four time or Super Bowl time, so that, you know, this is a good opportunity for a guy. If you want to sit in the couch and not get bothered for 48 hours, I have no problem telling your wife that, you know, you have to sit there and get some ice, and that'll take care of this. And so schedule it appropriately so you can enjoy yourself. I got people who do it for the Masters.
And there's magical healing with that remote control in your hand, too.
Well, that does help, yes.
There's something about just that power of the remote control sitting on a couch with your testicles on ice. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. Poor Brian Joe. How old are you, Brian? 20 what? How old are you? 24. So our producer, Dr. McGuire, is 24 years old. And he's looking at us like we're completely out of our flipping minds. Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Listen, you have three girls, Brian, right? Two dogs, who male dogs that were neutered. And you've been married for the second time like I have. You're running after the third one drops. You're running to get the, you know, you're just happy to see it is what I'm saying. But, you know, it comes a time where I love my kids, Doc, but I'm good with three. You know what I mean?
Right. And let me tell you a story. Every time I do this, I'm sitting talking to the guy while I'm doing it. And one of my most concerning stories is like, well, how many kids do you have? And the guy says, well, we had two, and my wife wanted one more, and I didn't. And they had unassisted triplets. So they went from two to five. So just remember, you're not guaranteed just one. So, I find this to be, I have never regretted having had a vasectomy. That was one of the smartest things I ever did in my life.
312-521-8600 phone line and text line. Dr. McGuire, Chief of Urology at North Shore University Health Systems, broadcasting from the state-of-the-art facility in Glenbrook, at the Glenbrook Hospital in Glenview, John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital. So walk us through a consultation, Doc. Guy comes in. I had to sign a bunch of waivers. This is before I met you. I went to a guy that I was going to do a loan for, and he wound up, and I schlepped all the way to Berwyn to get myself neutered, and then he wound up going with somebody else, which was really great. But I've got a question for this. For you, what is the walk us through a consultation if a guy comes in? I know I had to sign that I'm going to be sterile and everything else. What type of forms do people sign, and what other types of questions do people have that we haven't already talked about?
So basically, you come in and I talk to you, and anytime you're going to do surgery on somebody, you want to know if they have an unusual bleeding problems, if they're allergic to lidocaine, if they've ever had anything unusual along that factor. The other fact I ask is, are you some guy who passes out? Usually I can do this in the office, but occasionally I have guys that pass out when you just talk to them. So I don't want to do that. And so though they may need to be in a more controlled environment, but you talk to them and then you examine them. And the examination is, this operation is almost all done by feel. You got to be able to feel the vas deferens. It feels very unique in the body, and that if you can't feel it, you have to do the operation in a different way. But if everything feels normal, looks normal, then you sit down and we talk about it. And we go over the things that we do. We've talked about already. We start out with, what is the vas deferens? What's its point? And the whole point of this operation is to just take the sperm out of the semen, that you're still going to make semen, you're still going to ejaculate. It shouldn't have any impact on getting an erection, having sex. We don't know of any proof that it caused any health aspects or anything like that. And then we talk about how you need to follow up with us to make sure that's okay, and how we can't guarantee that this is going to work up front, and we can't guarantee that it's going to be permanent forever, because there are people when it grows back together or it fails, and then what you have to do. Then we talk about what is expected the day of and the time afterwards.
And I think that's important where you bring the spouse in, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, because I drove like an idiot now that I'm looking back at it. It was about, I don't know, it was late October, December in the winter sometime, because it was snowing out. And I drove from Berwyn, right? I went to McNeil Hospital, drove from Berwyn to Northbrook in a snowstorm at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Probably not what you would recommend, doctor.
But you stopped to get ice. Couldn't you just grab the snow and put it on your scrotum?
I stopped to get it was flurrying at the times, and there wasn't a bunch of the snow had not accumulated yet. Thank you for asking to charge me 50 cents for a 8-ounce bag of ice in a Krispy Kreme donut bag. So I wasn't in no condition to have that argument at that time. So if people are shopping and comparing and looking at doctors and urologists, I would assume, the first thing you would recommend to people is make sure you're going to a urologist and not another type of doctor, because that is the specialty of your division and your department, correct?
Right, and certainly in a major metropolitan area like Chicago, these are the guys who do the vasectomies. This is what you want to do. And you want to do a place where they do a ton of these so that your life is easy and it comes quick. And then you want to find somebody who's going to tell you all these factors about it to make sure they understand that you understand what's going to happen, how it's going to go. And this is not a huge surgery. This is something we do in the office, takes 5 to 10 minutes, but it's life-changing, and you want to make sure that you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a guy who has a lot of pain, if you're a guy who passes out, we absolutely want your wife there with you to drive you home, because you're going to go home. And then I want you that night planning going home and just taking it easy. Sit in the couch, watch TV, put some ice on your scrotum, and that's the best thing in the world. And then by the next day, most people feel really good.
What are the costs of this type of procedure, doctor?
It's about $1,000 all in for everything, and most insurances pick up the vast majority of it if you've met your deductible.
And live rounds. You said you had about 8 weeks of live ammunition down there between your legs.
We say about 10. We say 10. You know, 10 ejaculations usually cleans out the system, but 20 is what we usually recommend. So if you do that in a day, you can come back in a day and just, you know, give us your sample then. But we usually say about coming in about 2 months and give us a sample.
Okay. And how quick after you drop the sample off can you determine if is it done right there in the office? Or
yeah, I just look at it under a microscope. So it just, you know, we'll get back to you by the end of the day.
And how, because I made this mistake. This is another true story. You know I don't make this stuff up. It's too good to make it up. I don't need to make it up. So I had to schlep down to McNeil, Doc, all the way from Northbrook to Berwyn to drop off a sample. Right,
driving right by the John and Carol Walter Center.
Right, literally 7 minutes from my house. By the way, actually, it wasn't built yet. You guys, that's a brand new facility.
Yeah.
Okay, so my daughter, my baby's six. I think I had it done about 4 years ago. So I think you guys were just breaking ground back then. And I'm driving there, and I'm just like, and the doctor said there's a time sensitivity on the sperm, right, on the sample. Like it has to be given to the lab within a certain amount of time. So I didn't know what to do. So I stopped off at the McDonald's right there, okay, in Berwyn. And the average age of the people at Berwyn is about 97. So when you go into McDonald's at 7:30 in the morning, it's like noon for them. You know what I mean? Because they've been up since 3 in the morning, okay, because they go to bed at 6 at night. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to concentrate to create the sample. And swear to God, as if my life ends today if I'm lying, okay? Guy walks in. I'm concentrating. I've got the technique going. Guy walks in, and his cell phone goes off to the theme song of James Bond. So I swear to God, I've got all of a sudden out of the blue, complete silence. Dun 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 dun. Dun. I'm like, dude. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, I'm in a freaking McDonald's trying to give a sample here. And every time I hear that song, I let you know that every time I hear that, I'm sure Brian's going to drop it in for the rejoin after the break. I think of myself at the Berwyn McDonald's trying to create a sample. And then,
you know, I think that's where, you know, James Bond would be at the Berwyn.
Exactly.
You know, the McDonald's in Berwyn.
To kill me. Right. Just exactly. Put me out of my memory. And my wife's like, why'd you do that? Why don't you just go to the hospital? I'm like, I never thought of that. You know what I mean? I'm a Neanderthal and I don't think of these things. So then I have to run to McNeil to try to drop the sample off. And I'm running like from building to building over there because I don't know where to drop it off. I finally got it to the lab, drenched in sweat, like a complete lunatic. Because they're like, "What are you running from?" I'm like, "This is 45 minutes old. I got to get it while it's what certain temperature." So, long and the short of it is, my junk was dead, Doc, and that was my message to my wife. Game on. Let's knock it out of the park. So, welcome to my life.
The reality is that is the time factor is very important. If you're working with men who are trying to get their wives pregnant and are unsuccessful, for people like this, a couple hours is fine. But, you know, it's a better story with you.
Oh, sure. It is. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you don't have to. You can just.
So glad you enjoy my misery. I'm so glad
other people. Do it at home and then bring it in, and you'll be fine.
And I'm sure you have clean, sanitized bathrooms within walking distance at the. I'm sure you don't call them whack off rooms at the John and Carol Walter Urological
Center. No, we send everybody down to the Berwyn McDonald's.
I'm sure. There's a plaque on the outside of the door. David was here. 312-521-8600. You better find that and bring it back after the break. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600 is the phone and the text line. We're talking vasectomies during this segment. And next segment, Doc, we're going to take a quick break in about a minute. We're going to be talking about kidney stones. You want to tease the listeners about kidney stones before we hit the break, bud?
So if you thought that the discussion of operating on your testicles was painful, now we're going to talk about something that really hurts, and we're going to talk about kidney stones.
I want to talk about the ultrasound blasting. I want to talk about going in and dissolving, because my brother, I guess my family's has a history, and it's in my hereditary. You know, it's hereditary in my family. Of kidneys. So thank God I haven't gotten them yet, and I hope I never get them. But Buzz Kilman here gets them all the time, and other people I know get them all the time, and they like just urinate them out. I'm like, that's got to hurt. They're like, oh, we get used to it. I'm like, whoa. 312-521-8600. We're going to talk about that, men and women, kidney stones, when we come back after the break. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM. 312-521-8600. Text and phone line.
David, you need some time alone here?
I just spent the last 2 minutes getting ready for this song. 312-521-8600. That's really all I need now, Doctor. 312-521-8600. Go to WGN.FM. This was this guy's phone ringer. That's what he had on his phone. He got a call. I can't make this up. I'm like, dude. I'm like, come on. That always brings down laughter in a couple's time. You know, when you're out with another couple. You know, tell us your story about a vasectomy. I'm like, no, you can't top mine. Oh, I think I can. I'm like, nope, I think I got you trumped. And then I dropped the gold by, I dropped the 007 on him, and I crush him. 312-521-8600 is the phone line and the text line. You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show with my good friend and buddy, Dr. Michael McGuire. He's the chief urologist at North Shore University Health Systems. When I met with the doctor, with Dr. McGuire about 3 months back, and we started talking about doing the show, your main goal of the show that you told me at dinner that night was to break down the different aspects of medicine and different procedures so people aren't afraid of it anymore. And do you think you're accomplishing that goal, Doctor?
Well, that and to hear disgusting stories about you that are going to ruin James Bond forever for me. That was my other goal. But absolutely. And the reality is that, you know, this is what I do on a day-to-day basis. And this is something that affects a lot of people's lives. And we can really help people. And by God, there's nothing that can help people more than not have more kids. So
this is completely off the track here. Do you? I went to Northern Illinois University, the Harvard of the Midwest. I was in a fraternity up there. I still run with the morons that I went to college with. They're all really good friends of mine, and we still hang out. We still talk to each other. We're still buddies. And one of my friends has got 6-7 kids. Very religious. You know, very hardcore Catholic. And when I said that I had a vasectomy, a couple of my friends' wives like almost went into a nuclear holocaust meltdown here. And I'm just like, what? I'm like, they're like, oh, how it's God's will and God's children. And I'm like, yeah, I understand that, but they're my nuts. And guess what? You know, this is what I want to do with my newts. And that's what I did. Do you get any blowback from religious organizations about, you know, that you're making people sterile and stuff like that or no?
No, not at all. And, you know, patients come in and we discuss it. And I used to have a partner that would say that the spouse had to come in and have the discussion with it before he would do a vasectomy. I don't do that. If you're an adult and it's your body and you decide that you would like to no longer have kids, I don't need your spouse's blessing. Now, that's going to probably come back and bite me in the rear end eventually in my lifetime. But, you know, that the Supreme Court has ruled that, men don't have any say in women's bodies and it's vice versa. And okay. I think that's reasonable.
Well, as long as you've got, protection and there is a court ruling, you don't want any blowback on somebody or like people saying to their wives, yeah, I want to try to get another one, then go in and get neutered and then, have the best sex of their life. Like, I don't know what's going on, honey. I'm just...
Must be something wrong with you.
Must be something wrong with you. That's never happened before. All right, so let's talk about kidney stones. You listen to the Men's Total Health Show here on WGN.FM. Gary Meyer coming up in about 25 minutes with his fine show until 7 o'clock tonight. 312-521-8600. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. On the phone again with us is Dr. Michael McGuire, Chief of Urology at North Shore University Health Systems. Doctor, you're broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenbrook, Illinois, state-of-the-art facility, 847-503-3000. What is a kidney stone, and why should people be concerned?
All right, so kidney stones, so... You ever make rock candy where you take sugar and you boil it and then you put in a little something and then it precipitates out this big candy? That's what happens in your urine all the time. Your urine is what if for those of you who took chemistry in high school and college remember something called a supersaturated solution. It's sitting there and it's ready to form into something else. And for some people, they're at higher risk for this. And some of it is genetic. A lot of it has to do with how much water you drink. But these actual minerals precipitate out and become a kidney stone. And a stone is a little piece of something that causes unbelievable pain for some people.
Can it cause permanent damage?
If it's not treated and a stone goes in and blocks the kidney, you can lose a kidney from this.
Really?
Absolutely.
So from what I understand is like what you just said, my brother's had a couple and he's a big
dude.
Did
he drive right past the John and Carol to McNeil?
No. He's out in Bloomingdale. So he didn't come anywhere near your son.
All right. Just want to make sure another guy was just bypassing me.
Right? I'm just telling you right now. Okay. If there's anything wrong with my penis, I'm hopping in my car, taking Dundee to Finkston and blowing through every freaking stop sign and red light, and I will be turning left, coming in on two wheels, and with my legs open, so you better have a gurney down there, because I'm just going to park the valet at the keys will be in the car, and if I ever have any problems, you know who I'm coming to. But
so
how do you function with the kid? How can you not? It's so painful. My brother's 350 pounds, 6'2", and it knocked him on his rear end. How do you function with the kidney stone?
Some people do. Some people have them and they cause no pain at all. They just present with blood in the urine. I saw a woman in the office yesterday. She's got two stones in each kidney, but they don't appear to be blocking. When a kidney stone moves, when it blocks the tube that drains the kidney, that's when you get the severe pain. And some of the toughest and strongest people I know I've seen with kidney stones, and it just completely brings them to their knees.
Okay, so wait a minute. If you've got two stones, one in each, you got two kidneys, correct?
Right, one in each ureter.
Okay, and if you've got a stone in there, isn't it a really good chance, and I know nothing of this, like I know nothing of a lot of things, but I host radio shows here all week, but isn't it a really good chance, I would assume, that it's going to somehow move and float into an area where you don't want it to be? And isn't it
right.
a good idea to get it taken out? Or do you?
And that's what I'm waiting for the phone call from this lady, because we saw her in the office yesterday and we evaluated her. And most people present either with severe pain or they present with blood in the urine. And this lady had blood in her urine. And so I said, we need to check to see if you've got a kidney stone. Go get a CAT scan. That's the test. Got the CAT scan back. And it shows she's got two stones. She's not having any pain at all. Just blood in the urine.
Just blood in the urine is enough for me. Okay, because I've had blood in my urine when I was a young boy. That's a whole another story for another show. But blood in the urine is not a concern.
Well, so first of all, there's blood you can see. And then the vast majority of time, people who have blood in the urine have a urinary tract infection, all right? And so she actually went to her internist, had the blood in the urine. He sent her off for a urine culture, and that takes 48 hours to come back, and started her on antibiotics. In the meantime, the blood in the urine has cleared, but the urine culture came back negative. So the internist says, this isn't an infection. You need to see a urologist. She came to see me, and I saw her. She still got blood in the urine, but she couldn't see it anymore. I could only see it under the microscope. But I said, well, this isn't an infection. That's why we had to go on to the next step to look for kidney stones. About 10 to 15% of stones present with no pain.
No pain.
Right.
And they range in size from what to what?
So there are tiny stones, which are essentially like a grain of sand. And then there are very unusual stones, which occur with a special kind of infection that completely fill your kidney. And they can completely block the kidney and cause the kidney to die.
What's the biggest stone that you've ever removed? How big? Size of a dime?
Oh, God, no. So these stones that fill up your whole kidney, so I would say they're, 4 inches by 2 inches.
What?
Yeah. It completely fills up the inside of your kidney where all the urine's supposed to go.
So it's like a rock.
Exactly.
Holy crap. How do you get that out?
So for somebody with a stone that big, the way to do this is...
Wait a minute, 4 inches, 4 inches long, 2 inches wide.
Right, and it's called a staghorn because it is shaped like deer antlers because it goes up into the different parts of your kidney. And that what we do for those specific stones and for very large stones, we actually make a little hole directly through your back, directly into the kidney, and then take a telescope, an operative scope, and we go in there, and then we break it up and suck out all the little pieces.
And what's the pain level on that and recovery time on that?
You know, usually you're in the hospital overnight.
Okay.
And most people go home the next day. And it's still the hole is done through, you know, this hole is about the size of the width of your finger. So it's not too bad.
So are you making like two or three different holes, one to put a camera in there, another to have a retractor? No?
The camera... right underneath the camera is a working port that I put a device in there which breaks up the stone and sucks the little pieces of the stone out at the same time.
Wow. You got any video of this?
Sure.
Now we got to put it on. You got to send it to Brian Jones at WGNRadio.com.
We'll get you some YouTube places.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's get some YouTube stuff. Put it on the put it on the webpage here at WGN's website, WGN.fm. You could download a podcast of this show or forward it on to a friend, family, coworker, or neighbor who might be interested in getting a vasectomy or has a vasectomy, is having problems with the vasectomy that they have. And
I thought you were going to say might be interested in getting a kidney stone.
Or getting kidney stone removed.
There you go.
So do you do post-op meetings with people that have gone to other doctors that things aren't going right with their vasectomy,
oh,
let's say?
You know, any surgeon in the world who tells you they don't have complications is a liar. And, you know, unfortunately, surgery is a good field, and we try to get the best results possible, but nothing's perfect. And sometimes you just need to go somewhere else. And if you've had things, and one of the things we have here, which at the John and Carol Walter Center, is a specialty clinic for prevention of kidney stones. All urologists do this somewhat. I've got a partner who's an expert at stone prevention. And we really, if you've had recurrent stones and you don't want to go through this again, there are many things you can do with your diet or maybe with medications or things like that where we can help you decrease your likelihood of ever getting a stone again. Now, if you just had one stone and, you know, in 50 years, you'll probably not get another one and for another 50 years. But if you've had two or three and you want to not have that happen again, there is definitely things we can do to help you. And so we strongly recommend, if you keep getting stones or you've had one and it was the most miserable experience in your life, then you call me and then we'll get you in at 847-503-3000 and we'll work on getting you to see the right people so that you don't make stones anymore.
You're listening to the Men's Total Health Show on WGN.FM, sponsored by Dr. Michael McGuire, Chief Urologist at North Shore University Health System, broadcasting from the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital in Glenbrook, Illinois, the state-of-the-art facility, less than 5 years old. And the phone number there for Dr. McGuire and his team of urologists, or if anything else is ailing you, Dr. McGuire will hook you up with the right department, 847-503-3000, 847-503-3000. Phone lines into the studio and a text line, 312-521-8600. I'm thinking of the mothership downstairs. Sorry, doctor. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. We have a text message here from an 847 telephone number, doctor. What a family member is going through kidney stones, having kidney stones complications, and their doctor recommended these two procedures. Can you give us some more information? They're looking for more information on these two procedures. I'm going to try to pronounce it right. I'm going to probably kill it, but here. Ureteroscopy.
Okay, ureteroscopy.
Okay, that. And lithotripsy.
Lithotripsy. Okay, so there are two ways to get rid of stones without making incisions. Okay, so if you have a bigger stone and it's up in the kidney, the traditional way to do this is with shockwave. And what it is you are put essentially in a bathtub or on a machine that has a very small bath water. And then there's an energy source, and it's essentially a shock wave which travels through this water, and it is focused directly on the stone. And then it hits the stone and breaks it into little pieces, and you pass it. This has been something that we've done since the mid-80s, highly effective treatment.
Which procedure is that again, doctor?
This is the lithotripsy. Shockwave lithotripsy.
Okay.
All right. And so this is very effective. It is, although there's no incisions, and often we can do this without putting a tube inside you, what happens is that it's not perfect by any means. It's about 90-95% effective. You still have to pass the little fragments that the dust. Sometimes a part of it doesn't break up, and sometimes that the stone is too hard to break up at all. In the last 10 years, our visualization has gotten so good and imaging has gotten so good that we often now will do something called ureteroscopy. What ureteroscopy is, with you asleep, so you don't feel anything, so we take a little telescope, go up the holes God gave you, and we'll go up through the penis or vagina if you're a woman, up the urethra and into the bladder, and then go up the ureter, the tubes that drain the kidney, and we can go up, if the stone's there, we can go there, and we can sometimes grab it and take it out, or we have a laser that we can use inside your body, inside this little tube, and break the stones up. It is more invasive because we go up inside you. Often will require us for a short term to put a little piece of tubing inside you just because of the inflammation. It is a controversy in urology which one is better. There's no question more and more ureteroscopy is being done because the imaging gets better and better every year. Both are highly successful ways, and most good urologists look at your stone, look at you, and figure out which is the best way to work for you.
What's your preferred method?
Both. You know, I do some men, I do one way, some men I do it another way, and some women, same thing. It depends on where the stone is, how big the stone is, and if you have a, you know, like a 1 centimeter stone up in your kidney, there's no question in my mind, if I can do lithotripsy on it, that's the right thing to do. You can't do lithotripsy, you can't do the shock wave if you're on blood thinners. All right, because basically what that does is that energy goes through the kidney, and if you've got blood thinners, the kidneys can bleed. So you don't want to do it if you're on that. And if you're bigger, like your brother, I can't use the machines, are much less effective. So for certain persons, the better test is ureteroscopy.
Is it more prevalent in men or women, or did the sex doesn't come into play here?
It's pretty even.
African Americans to whites to Hispanics to Orientals, does any of that come into play?
Doesn't come into play. And the number one factor is not drinking enough water. That's how you get a stone, is you just don't drink enough water.
Because you're just not flushing the tubes and you're giving that sediment time to settle.
Exactly. That's all you're doing. You're precipitating out rocks.
And coffee as opposed to big slurpees and big gulps versus water, is there a different, is there a type of fluid that works better? Water better than the big gulp?
So all caffeine beverages are dehydrating. Caffeine, diet beverages are all dehydrating. So with each one of those, if you've got a history of kidney stones, I tell you, you got to drink equivalent amount of water at the same time. The goal is to make sure that you dilute out all that stuff, and some people say, well, I'm peeing a lot because I'm drinking a lot of coffee, but you're really not getting rid of the water that makes it dilute. You're getting rid of concentrated stuff. The real goal is if you've got kidney stones, you want to drink 2.5 to 3 liters of water a day.
Which is 100 ounces.
Exactly.
And even if you don't have kidney stones, the goal is to drink 3 liters a day so you don't get kidney stones. Is that
exactly
a safe?
And that's good for you. It cleans out the system. It's an excellent appetite suppressant. So there's many advantages to it. Now, you don't want to drink so much that you spend your whole life peeing, but But other than that, yeah, water is great.
312-521-8600 is the phone and text line. We're wrapping up the show here, Doc. So if people want to reach you, they could contact you at your office in the John and Carol Walter Urological Center at Glenbrook Hospital. State-of-the-art building, state-of-the-art facility, brand-new facility located in Glenview. 847-503-3000.
Conveniently located on the way to McNeil Hospital from Northbrook.
Sick. You got to go right by it. Right. Conveniently located at Lake and Finkston Roads in Glenview, Illinois. Dr. McGuire is not only a good friend and a great doctor, but he cares very much about what he does. He loves what he does, and he will take care of you. If you want to reach him, 847-503-3000. If you want to download a podcast of this show or previous shows you go to WGN.FM. Type in Men's Total Health Show, and it will take you right to the homepage for Dr. McGuire, and you can download this show and previous shows and send them out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and share it with your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors. In 30 seconds or less, Doc, you want to leave us with something until we speak again next week?
One more thing about permanent infertility. Women in infertility have significant risk. They require a general anesthetic to have an operation to this, or if they're on the pill, there's risk of strokes and heart attacks and things like that. Man up, have a very small procedure, which will make you have no impact on you afterwards, but you can do this very easily and have a life-changing thing that is significantly better for you than having it done to your wife.
I appreciate you spending your afternoon with us, Doctor. Go back to checking people's urethras, and we'll talk next week. All right, buddy?
All right.
Nice touch there, Brian. Thanks for listening. Gary Meyer coming up next.